I'm afraid I've got my little cards here. Everyone else managed without, but if you don't want me to talk all night, you do want me to use these. So a very long time ago in the late 70s, a little girl asked her mum for a nurse's outfit. And she then took all her dolls and her teddies, and she drew red lines on them to mimic wounds. And later, her very reluctant younger brother got dragged into some very intricate trauma situations with worsening wounds. And the first aid kit came out, and I fixed them all. Yes, that little girl was me. I was 3, and it was my dream to be a nurse. So which is kind of ironic, saying I'm a wound-certified home visit team nurse now. I started young liking wounds. The more gruesome, the better. So a few years later, my dream was to get into Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital to do my nursing education. I became a children's nurse. There were quite a few times in those early years when I just really wondered, what am I doing? Is this really my dream? Should I be doing something else? One of those occasions, I was in a very poorly underfunded National Health Service hospital in Helm Hempstead, in the one and only children's ward that has since closed down due to funding cuts. They asked us if we could come to the accident emergency. That's what it's called, by the way, accident and emergency room. You were mostly right on your British words for things. And yes, they're still sisters, even if you're a boy. Sorry. just have to say that now. Anyway, so we get called to the accident and emergency room to assist with a pediatric code. It is a 16-year-old who has overdosed on ecstasy and alcohol, which is not a good combination, and he essentially boils from the inside and just does not make it. He's bleeding from every orifice. And I had only been a nurse for a few years, and that memory has stayed with me forever. And it was a turning point for me. Because I was like, what am I doing? This is not what I envisaged nursing was going to be. I was thinking back to my dolls and my teddies who would just line up in a nice kind of row with their red lines and I would just wrap their wounds. But as you have seen from tonight, from all these amazing people, you know what? We just pick ourselves up and we keep going. And that's what I did. Fast forward a few years and I am in Alaska. It has taken me a few goes to get the NCLEX, which is a stupid exam, by the way. Hello. We don't do that in England. You do your nursing course and you become a nurse. You don't then have an exam to prove that you still... Anyway, you don't... Did you have to... You didn't have to do anything, did you?
I did.
Oh, you did? Exams. Oh, crap. That's because I've been gone a really long time. Anyway, so it's a little bit of a culture shock. I've gone from the National Health Service to American healthcare system, where they charge you sometimes down to the last Band-Aid or plaster. But at least you have, you're quite well supplied and you have equipment that actually works most of the time. I think my most favorite aspect of American nursing was I get to wear pajamas to work. Or today, like jogging trousers and a scrub top. Sorry, I came literally straight from work today. Because I didn't wear pajamas to work. In England, I wore a dress with a belt and a silver buckle and black pantyhose and lace-up black shoes. Very sexy. I'm too sexy for my nurse's outfit. Have fun with that, Erin. There is a reason why they ask you for your dress size. You are going to be wearing one. So the other thing about being in America is I found very quickly that having an accent is really quite useful. And you can get away with an awful lot, especially when you sound like Harry Potter. And in fact, I did consider putting it on my resume as a skill. Because it was utilized quite frequently, especially in the emergency room, which is where I ended up, A&MC. Shout out to my OG A&MC ED girls over there. Just have to say hi. When the charge nurse will come up and say, Tamsin, can you just go talk to this person and just calm them down. And off I'd go and say to this person who's on whatever crazy train, would you like a cup of tea or a glass of water? And sometimes they would just like stop and go, oh, where are you from? Are you from Australia? No, I'm not. But, you know, sometimes it actually worked. It was quite amazing. And they would get off whatever crazy train they were on and calm down. Other times we would have to B-52 them, which was actually more fun. But it, you know, achieved the same. So in the ER, I became a supervisor for a short and rather stressful period of time. It's COVID. So we have a psych bay, sorry, a protected area for those experiencing mental health crisis. But we can't use that if they've got COVID because we can't make it into an isolation area. So we have to use bay 7 through 10. And it's hard to make that protected when you've got things like cupboards and drawers bolted to the wall. Anyway, I'm in my office doing my thing. And then Amelia, one of my most favorite charge nurses ever because she's always super calm under pressure, comes to my door and say, hey, do you think you could come and give me a hand in the ER? And I'm like, sure, what's going on? She's like, so there's a patient in the ceiling. And I was, and I'm like, there's a what? She's like, just come and help me. So up again, I'd be like, she's not really somebody who will prank me. I mean, there are plenty of them who would, but this one, you know, Amelia wouldn't. So I'm like, what's going on? So I come into the ER, there's bay 7 through 10, because this particular patient who's having a mental health crisis has COVID, so she's in this isolated area. There's a very scared-looking sitter on the outside of the bay, because she's not allowed in the bay because of the COVID, and there's a whole line of people just standing there going, with that, like, what the fuck on their faces, staring at the ceiling, and I'm like, right, it's a British voice moment. You need to come down from that ceiling right now. And then there's like this head. Because you know the ceilings in the ER because they've got those like things and she'd climbed up the cupboards and yeah. Yeah, she wasn't coming down. My British voice had failed me. So I joined the onlookers and I'm like, has anybody actually figured out what's up there? You know, like live electrical wires, sewage, gas lines, anything? Should we call maintenance? No, we haven't called them. Okay. So I get on my Vocera, which is a whole nother story when you have an accent. Finally get hold of maintenance. I was like, you need to come to the ER. There's a patient in the ceiling. And they're like, there's a what? Just get up here. So up they come, join the line of people, standing there going, what the fuck? So finally, it's actually the psychiatrist who gets her down in his like dad voice. You need to get down right now. Brings her down. She gets down. There is no leakage of sewage, and you know there's no electrocution. Everything's fine. But it's one of those. Again, it was one of those moments. Like I'd never thought I would be saying, "Please come down from the ceiling now," at any point in my nursing career. But I did. Anyway, so I still felt that there was something missing. I loved the ER. I especially love the people who have now become my family. But it was time to put the ER away and try a different type of nursing. So a job in the home visit team came up at South Central Foundation, and I took it. It was actually quite daunting at first because it's a whole different way of nursing when somebody is inviting you into their home rather than them come to you like in the ER and with a problem that you fix and you don't know where they come from or where they're going. It's a whole different story when you're in the home visit team. And they invite you into their life and they invite you to join on their health journey. And I finally found my place in this world. I was back to being that little girl. And I had a little row of dolls and teddies who needed to be cared for. Except this time, these dolls and teddies were super grateful for me. And they gave me coffee and French toast. Today was a French toast day. Friends days are always my favorite because I get French toast. Not everybody does this, but you know. But it's that building of a relationship, and it's been such a blessing for me to be able to bless these people They've given me a reason to get out of bed, and they tell me that I am the reason that they get out of bed. So I have found my place. So after 30 years of loving and hating this job, my advice to you, if you're just starting out with nursing or if you have been nurse for a while and you're kind of stuck, you know what? Persevere. Keep going. You've seen today that that's what we're good at. Okay, we pick ourselves up, we learn from it, we keep going. We are amazing. What we do is amazing. We're worth it. Our patients are worth it, and don't ever forget it.